You can turn with me to a couple places this morning. Luke 18, we'll start in Luke 18, and then we'll flip over to Luke 7. Luke 18, and then Luke 7. And I've been praying for you this week. Hope that you have had a blessed week. The sunshine always brings great joy. But man, when it's snowing and blowing and still cold and a little bit of rainy, man, this is the day the Lord hath made. I keep going over that. I shall rejoice in the rain and in the sleet. I shall be glad in the 30-degree weather when I wake up, and I will walk in delight. You know, just try to convince yourself and talk yourself into joy at times with our weather. But today, no need for that, man. It is gorgeous out, and we just praise the Lord for the sunshine and for the weekend that we've had. It's just absolutely beautiful. Hope that you have a great day planned for you today. Church, I just want to say thank you for being a part of Believer's Chapel, that you call this place your church. You call this place your home. If you're new to Believer's Chapel, man, we are so pumped that you're here. I know it's busy. I know it's little elbow room. We do have a 12:30 service. The 9 o'clock, 10:45 just seem to be packed, just packed. We do have room at the 12:30, which does continue to grow. We're pumped about that service as well. That continues to increase, but there's a lot more elbow room at the 12:30 than there is at the first two services. And we're just so thankful that we still have some room for people to come and to grow. And just we're still continuing to pray for property, and building fund continues to grow up. I think it's somewhere around $450,000 right now. Just continues to increase. And we're so blessed to see what God's plan is. Right now, we're in just prep mode, man. We're just prepping, we're planning, we're preparing. You can't build without any green. So we're just continuing to build the green and just ask God for property and see what's going to take place right here in where we're at, and get some great things happening. So thank you for your continued faithfulness in what's going on here at Believer's Chapel. And like I said in the very beginning, man, we're just a simple crew. Believe God Almighty deserves to be worshipped, because He is God Almighty, and we are not. And He deserves all the thanks. When you really understand your salvation, you understand the very grace of God, you understand how He sees us through eyes of love, and I think things change. We're going to go over a couple things this morning. And I want your time in the Word to be rich. And I want us to walk out different and changed, challenged and convicted as we get into the Word of God. So let's just ask God to bless our time. Father, thank you for just our time already in worship and in Word. And already in communion, just a powerful presence in this place. I thank you for every heart that's here, God, every family that's represented here, God, every college student and every college and high school student and the high schools that are represented in this place, and the adults and their workplaces. God, we could have such an impact. God, we could have such an impact. God, help us to do what you've called us to do. God, open our eyes to see what we need to see this morning. God, I'm asking by your Holy Spirit you would speak directly into our lives today. Folks, I ask that you would ask God, speak to me today. God, speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. We just coming off a huge series on our Love, Joy, and Peace series, a great series. Thought it was one of our most powerful that we've done in marriage. Had great, great results, great fruit. Just tremendous, tremendous long series, but it was faithful. So we're going to get into something new, just kind of freelancing and just kind of not freelancing, studied hard, but in a sense of not going right into another long series. There's just so much on my heart as your pastor that I just want to be able to speak and preach. And I'm just grateful that you're here this morning. Come on, look at this. Luke 18, please. Verse 9 says this, and this is Jesus. He's telling a story. And he told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves, and they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Like, there's going to be two people that are defined here. We're either one or the other. And when we're talking about through the eyes of love, that's, I want you to see, this is how Christ sees us, but how is it that we see others? And how is it that, are we concerned about what others think about us? When we're pressing into Jesus and we know that we've got to come to Christ, and we know there's a moment that we've got to come to Him, we know that there's different things in our life, we know that we're broken and hurting, and we live in a world that's broken and hurting, and there's people all around us day after day that are hurting and broken. They may have that smile throughout the day, but their heart is broken and hurting, and there's a void, and they need Jesus. And we come to a point and say, how is it that we view these people? How is it that if we are those people, how is it that we press into Jesus at times in our hurt and our pain? What do we have to do at times to get to Jesus? And we look at this, and this is an amazing picture of two people. And verse 10 says, two men went up to the temple to pray. one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Okay, a Pharisee, this was the religious leader, man. These were like the pastors of the day. These were highly educated men. These were people who were high on the scale of education, high on the scale of fame and fortune. People respected them. People looked up to them. People looked to them for spiritual needs. The Pharisees were the big wigs, and then you've got the tax collector. Tax collectors were unliked. Tax collector cheated the system. Tax collector always took more than they should take. I'm not talking about today's tax collectors. I'm talking about in Bible time tax collectors. Just so you know, I just wanted to, you know, some, you know, anyways. But we come into the place of you've got two people here. One you think is the religious leader who's in the temple all the time. This is where he is. Then you have this one who's viewed as a sinner, this cheating tax collector who comes in to pray. Now look at the view here. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I mean, what a thought, right? I'm so glad I'm not like that guy. No show of hands, but how many of us have been that Pharisee? Or someone may even walk into this church. Well, I'm so glad I'm not like that person. And we forget that we all swam in the same pool of sin. All have sinned and fall short. Folks, this church wants to win this community. This church wants to win as many people in the very short time that Jesus could come back any moment. And I am urgent and we are pressed to win as many people as possible to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to do it by looking and pointing fingers going, I'm so glad I'm not like him. I'm so glad I'm not like her. Well, we somehow put ourselves up on this pedestal. And forget that grace has covered our sin. And the blood of Christ has covered my sin, which was filthy like a dirty rag. That's my sin. That's the pool that I swam in. We come to a place right here where this Pharisee says, and he's doing it in a prayer. That's what the amazing thing is. He's crying out to God. And here Jesus is telling this story. He says, I thank you, talking to God, that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay my tithes of all that I get. He starts claiming all the things that he's done right. But the tax collector, here's the other one, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven. You talk about one who had such a reverence, such a fear of God, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Jesus is telling the story. He says, I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. How many times, honestly, do we come before God, whether in the community of church on Sundays or whether it is our private time throughout the week, that we come to a place to just be amazed that we are forgiven and we're asking God to forgive us of our sin, knowing the blood of Christ has covered us and set us free and that sin can't bind to us, man, that we are free. And people say, well, yes, Sean, but I still sin. Well, welcome to the club. But it's a matter of understanding the blood of Christ has taken that where it can't bind to us and tie to us, that he has destroyed that. And he destroyed the power of sin unto death so that you and I would come to a place to recognize that we are forever free. And we don't look around in a sense going, I'm so glad I'm not like him. I'm so glad I'm not like, who does she think she is? Who do you think he is? I mean, come on, walking in here like that. I can't believe she would. And we're so quick to be like the Pharisee in this story. And to miss that every single person who walks in this church, every single person you see at work, every single person you see on a sidewalk, God sees them through eyes of love, and Jesus Christ put himself on a cross for them. Come on, we got to fly. Turn over to Luke 7, please. And I want you to see this. This is such an amazing story in regards to how Jesus viewed one and everyone else viewed her in one way, and Jesus viewed her in a completely different way. And I love this. You've got this, Luke 7, verse 36. And now one of the Pharisees, back to the Pharisees, was requesting Jesus to dine with him. And Jesus entered the Pharisee's house, reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner or an immoral woman or a prostitute. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster veil of perfume. Now, I love this. I mean, this is like a higher up dinner, gang. This is like a Pharisee. This is that well-educated. This is the one who has high establishment within the community, and he's having a party. Like, how many times if you really, you're bringing in some of the best, and he throws a party for Jesus. Jesus, right here in this point, Jesus is already well known. Jesus has already done some amazing, incredible miracles. Jesus already is taught with great authority like no one has ever known. Jesus is already gathering huge, huge crowds of people that would follow him, just begging to be around Jesus. And this guy invites this famous Jesus into his house. Now, all of a sudden, this random prostitute walks through the doors. Like, have you ever had a party at your house, and it's like you bringing over the mayor, you're bringing over some high-end official that everybody is trying to correct, and then some stranger just walks in your house. Be like, what are you doing? And you know the stranger as the girl who stands at the corner, giving herself for money. And I love this right here. This is amazing. When you see this, verse 37, and when she learned that he was reclining at the table, when she heard somehow, some way, this prostitute heard, Jesus is at Simon's house. Jesus is at Simon the Pharisee's house. He's having dinner there. Could you imagine what she had to endure? That she walks through these doors. Somehow she learned. Somehow she heard. Jesus is there. He's at Simon's house. He's there. Somehow she got the courage built up to walk into this Pharisee's house, knowing that everybody in that place knew that she was the girl on the corner. Can imagine the things that might have been going through her mind. Like, what do they think? What am I doing? What is going on? I know. And what is it? Somehow she knew, she heard that he can forgive sins. That he can put my spirit at rest. He can put my spirit in a sense of peace where I have known no peace. I have known the lust of a man, but I've not known the love of a man. And I hear that he is love, and I hear that he can bring a rest and a peace to my spirit, and I hear that he can forgive me of all that I've done. And she does everything necessary to get before the feet of Jesus. For when she had learned, this is just an unnamed prostitute. We don't even know her name. Hey, Jesus, he can forgive. Somebody whispered something to her along the line. Maybe it was a woman caught in adultery. Maybe she heard that story. They had a right to stone her. And then Jesus showed up. He just did some crazy things and writing some things in the sand, and rocks were dropping all over. It was an incredible scene. And then he says that your sins are forgiven. Just maybe he'll do that for me. If I can just get before Jesus, if I can just get to his feet, maybe I'll know peace again. Maybe I can be forgiven. Could you imagine this? We're here now. She comes in. And she brought an alabaster veil of perfume. In verse 38, standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them. And kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. I mean, could you imagine? Here she is. She comes into this room. She comes right into this dinner party, right through all the big wigs of the day, and plants herself right at Jesus' feet. And everyone in the room knows that she's a prostitute. Everyone knows it's the girl from the corner. What is she doing here? Why is she at the feet of Jesus? And it comes to this end. This is amazing right here. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what. I love that. We name people as a what. This is where this guy was. Who and what sort of person this woman who is touching him, that she is a prostitute or a sinner or an immoral woman. I mean, right away, he just begins to, I'm glad I'm not like her. If Jesus really is who he said he was, he'd know that she's a prostitute. He'd know this filthy woman that's at his feet. He's even letting her touch him. She's even letting him weep over her. She's even letting her hair touch his feet. If he knew who she was, he would never let that happen. And then Jesus goes in, shocks the Pharisee. Simon, I got a story for you. If there was a moneylender who owed 500 denarii, that's 500 days' wage, and there was one who owed 50, and you forgave the debt of both of them, which one do you think would be more grateful? Oh, for sure, the one who owed more. Jesus says, you answered correctly. Then he looks to this woman at his feet. There's a point. There's always a point. See this woman at my feet? I came into your house. You did nothing for me. You didn't honor me as a guest as you should have, as the law says. You're supposed to take care of my feet. I'm supposed to walk into your home and I'm supposed to be washed and I'm supposed to be anointed. You did none of that for me. She comes in and since she's been here, she hasn't stopped washing my feet with her tears. Because she knows that she has sinned much. Oh, if he only knew who was at his feet. If he only knew this filthy woman who was at his feet. And he says, I know how much she sinned. I know that she has sinned much. Because she has loved much, she has forgiven of much. And those who need little forgiveness love little. And this Pharisee must have shrunk to his shoes. And Jesus looks in verse 48 and he says this. And then he says to her, you talk about through the eyes of love. You talk about this prostitute at the feet of Jesus. She was at a point she had to press in. She was at a point she didn't care what the Pharisee thought. She wasn't so concerned about what anyone else thought at that dinner party except Jesus. Sometimes you have to come to a place to press through from the thoughts of others or not care what others think to get to the feet of Jesus. And you talk about through the eyes of love. Here you've got Jesus. He's got everyone in the room judging Jesus as well as this prostitute. And Jesus looks at her. I love this. Verse 48. And then he says to her, your sins have been forgiven. What a sweet sentence for this woman. What an amazing word for her. She's been used. 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 Sins just piling up and piling up and piling. Could you imagine how dirty she felt? Could you imagine how wrecked she felt? Could you imagine how broken she was when there was just piles and piles and piles and piles and piles of sin? And she's at the feet of the one who can forgive. And he says, eye to eye, he says, your sins have been forgiven. I love this. Who else has ever given to this girl? Who else has ever had these eyes that just are grace and love-filled eyes? It's always eyes that take. It's always eyes that say, give me. And here at the feet of the one who can forgive, who can bring peace, here this woman finds herself, why? Because she learned, she heard. I just ask a serious question right here. How many people do you tell? How many people need to hear about Jesus? Not Believers Chapel. How many people need to hear about Jesus? please open with Jesus. And then somehow, maybe, if the opportunity arises, maybe get to the church. But it's about Jesus. It's always about Jesus. It's not about Believer's Chapel, it's about Jesus. How many people do you know in your world that need to hear that there's this one who lived 2,000 years ago here on the earth, but he's always lived, he's been forever, and he came on purpose for you, that you still today, 2,000 years later, man, that heaviness, that burden, that brokenness, that unfulfillment, you know that there's, he can forgive you of that. Man, he can come to you in such a way that you will know peace again. How many people do you know need to hear? Someone told her about Jesus and she pressed in. She knew, I need to get to his feet. True story. I don't care what other people think. I don't care what they're going to say about me. I'm going into that house because I need to be before Jesus. And he says this. And again, he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. When's the last time she knew rest in her spirit? When's the last time she knew a peace? Just bow your heads just for a minute, please. How does she see Jesus? As her forgiver. That's how she saw Jesus. I know I've got piles and piles and piles. Said there is a heaviness, I'm brokenness, and I've heard that he can forgive. I've heard that he can bring peace to me. I've heard that he will not look at me through eyes of lust that's just going to take from me like everyone else, but he will look at me and love me. How do you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus as a forgiver? Do you see Jesus as the one who can forgive? When we come before him and we truly get to his presence and we do whatever it takes to press in, we come to a place to not care what others think, but we come to a place to be at the feet of Jesus. How do you see Jesus? Do you see him as just a historical person? You see him as one who once lived on the earth? You see him as, well, there's a book written about him? Or do you see him as the one who can forgive? The one who saves? You see him as your king and your Lord and your master. This morning, man, I want you to see him as the one who forgives. He put himself on a cross so that you would be forgiven. So that you would be forgiven. Amazing to me, this woman saw something in Jesus even before the cross ever took place. Based on his very words, you are forgiven. Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that just in this moment, man, our eyes would be open to see you as our forgiver. Jesus, thank you for forgiveness. God, I'm just asking in this place that in the sense of know that we are forgiven, the very next thing he said is go in peace. Go in peace. The next sentence is go in peace. When we know that we are forgiven, peace can follow. Peace can follow forgiveness. And if you're in this place this morning, and you are struggling with what it is to be forgiven, that you know that there are things in your life that you can't let go, but you've heard today that the blood of Christ has broken that chain. The blood of Christ unbinds that. The blood of Christ unties that in you. That today you would say, I need to be free. And I want peace to follow. No one looking around. I just want to see your hand so I can pray for you, please. Put it up high, please. Put it up high. Father, thank you. God, we come to a place here this morning, right now, to know that we are forgiven. God, no matter what the past looked like, God, that no matter where we have been or what we've done, we come to a place. God, this woman we see was a prostitute. God, there's piles and piles and piles of brokenness and hurt and pain. And in one moment, one instance before Jesus, there's peace. Her spirit was at rest. Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm asking for peace this morning. I'm asking that we come to you and know that we can be forgiven. And in that, there'll be no bind on us. And in that, we will not be tied to sin. And in that, we can be released and we can have peace. We can have peace. We can have peace. Because we begin to see ourselves through the eyes of love, forgiven, free. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. I ask that we would be a church that would tell others about Jesus. Not so much telling them about church, but telling them about Jesus. That we tell them about Jesus. There are so many who need to hear that there is one who lived, died, and lives again. There is one who came to free. There is one who came to save. There is a place that he's gone to prepare for us who know him for an eternity. God, that we would be preachers of good news, the gospel, everywhere we go. God, that there are people who need to hear it. Open our eyes to see them, Lord. Open our eyes to see those who need to hear. That we would be the mouthpiece, that we would be that voice, that we would be that one who whispers that somewhere down the line, they would remember, I need Jesus. It's Jesus who frees. God, there'll be a point that as we tell people, they'll be just like this woman. There'll be a day that they remember what they heard from us. And they'll come to Jesus. They'll come to Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. I wonder if we can stand to our feet, please. Amen.